Blog Talk Radio.
If you just listen to the naysayers, you'll not really see the big picture. Yes, the economy certainly took a major hit over the last couple of years, but there really are jobs, there are job opportunities, and career options just waiting for you. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and I am broadcasting live from the National Black MBA Association's 32nd Annual National Conference and Exposition here in Los Angeles, California. Hello, everyone. We're really happy that you joined us today. This is a very special show. There's an awful lot going on. We're going to do whatever we can to let you capture the vision of what's taking place here at the Convention Center in Los Angeles, in downtown Los Angeles, as we are really broadcasting about all the activities for the National Black MBA Association. We have special guests who are lined up, and then we have some pre-recorded interviews to share with you, just so that you can just get a sense of what's taking place here with sunshine and not cloudy days, but lots of opportunities that are taking place throughout this entire convention center and the respective hotels that are representing this 32nd annual convention. You know, I put on my own conventions and I know how much work it takes, but this is massive. There are 12,000 people throughout the downtown Boston, downtown Los Angeles area, 400 major corporations who are participating, thousands of students, and aspirations and visions that they would want to take advantage of as a result of being with this conference. I'm excited because this is my 24th conference attending with the National Black MBA Association. I've had my MBA since 1986, and I have come to every single conference from 1986 through today with one exception, and that includes the 18 different Leaders of Tomorrow conferences that run parallel with the adult version of the National Black MBA Association event. So I want to give a shout-out to all of my friends back in Boston, Dr. Barbara Addison Reed, who has spread the word with others, and all those who are across the country who are listening and outside of the United States as well. We're very, very excited about you being a part of this very special event. Also want to alert you to our fourth multicultural conference that's taking place in Boston at the University of Massachusetts Boston campus. That's our special sponsor who is participating with us this year. And Bill Wells, William Wells, who is the chair of the National Black MBA Association, is our very special keynote speaker, along with several other really distinguished individuals who are focusing on various aspects of multiculturalism. Registration is now currently open for a membership. It's only $99 for that particular event, and we would love for you to participate. So you can go to our website at www.mssconnect.com. That's www.mssconnect.com, and find out more about that particular event. Well, we're getting set up because our very first two guests are going to join us. We're really excited about having them. They have wonderfully busy schedules. You practically have to have roller skates on to be here. There's a lot of activity here in the press room, and it takes probably 10 minutes to get to the press room because the convention center is that large. But once you get up there, it's a hub of activity with those who are coming in and out for various print and electronic interviews and those who are just spreading the good word about what's taking place here with the National Black MBA Association. So we have joining us two of the star leaders of the National Black MBA Association. I have had the privilege of knowing them for quite a length of time, so they are friends along with colleagues, and they will understand because this is internet radio, so we're going to share this telephone so that you can give us some wisdom. I'm really, really glad to have my friends and colleagues, the chair of the National Black MBA Association, William Wells from Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and from Detroit, Michigan, or outside of Detroit, Michigan, my home, the interim CEO, Steve Lewis. Welcome to our program.
Thank you very much.
Great, great. We're going to first have Steve give us some information about the length of time, because, I mean, you've worn a lot of hats with the National Black MBA Association. You've been our national president. You've been one of the champion fundraisers for the association. It's in your heart and your soul. And now, in the midst of transition, you serve as our interim president and CEO. So share with us what that's like and still having an executive job at Ford Motor Company. Steve Lewis.
Thank you very much for that, Carol. I think that, you know, as you look back at life, I've been with Ford for over 33 years. I've also been with the National Black MBA Association for about the same period of time. The National Black MBA Association provided me the leadership and expertise that I used as and transitioned in my job at Ford Motor Company when I was a young analyst and engineer. Through the leadership development programs I got through the National Black MBA, I was able to transfer those skills, and it allowed me to be successful at Ford Motor Company. So when it comes a time that the Black MBA needed a person to assist, and I had the current skills that were required to do that, I tried to work it out with my management team at Ford Motor Company so that we could be proactive and support the association. The association is doing quite well. We have, at this time, 12,000-plus people in attendance. We have 325 corporate partners here. We have 70 university partners here. So the team has rallied. I think that hats off to the leadership team, to Chairman Wells, and to the board, and our chapter presidents that do a lot of the work.
Well, Steve, you've given an overview of what's taking place here, but I think the key is you could have said, I've done my job. You could have said, you know, I can rest and retire and sort of rest on my laurels, but you have continued to give to the organization. That's such a message for younger professionals who are in this very building, that the job and the contributions that you make will never end. How about that, Steve?
Well, Carol, as it relates, you know, as you go through your time continuum of life, one of the things that is very important is that you continue to give back. As long as you're healthy, you know, health comes first, your spiritual well-being comes second, and then I think it's very important to remain healthy both physically and mentally, that you're active. Between the work of Ford and between the work of National Black MBA, this is my passion. So this is where I spend my time. Just like some other people spend their time on the golf course, I spend my time here with Black MBA. And I've done that for years and years and years. I don't consider it double duty. I consider it a privilege and pleasure to actively participate and help and give back.
And Steve Lewis, you have definitely done that, and I want to now just sort of transition. Again, I've got the two leaders, and let me tell you, to bring these two men together in the midst of a major conference is a major feat. So I just feel really honored that they're both sitting here talking with us about what's taking place. And again, my show broadcasts to people in Uganda, in the UK, so there are going to be people all over the world listening to this program, either live or certainly as an archive. Now we're going to turn our attention to the national chair, William Wells. Again, very dedicated, former chapter president, has served in various leadership capacities within the National Black MBA Association, and has a full-time business in terms of strategy and diversity, too. Bill Wells, thank you so much for being a guest on my program.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you so much. Well, Carol, good being with you, and once again, I find myself in the place that I look forward to each and every year, and I've been doing the conferences, perhaps 15 or 18 years, and it's something that I wouldn't miss. But more importantly, and what I've been trying to express to many of our corporate partners and all the attendees, even though this conference is the highlight of the year, our work goes on all year long. And I think you heard Steve talk about that. The work of the National Black MBA Association, it's serious business. And it's serious business in terms of making sure we help the corporate sector create a pipeline of future talent. They always come to us saying they're looking for the best and the brightest. And guess what? We have access to the best and the brightest. So, you know, our work continues on. Companies don't hire once a year. They hire 365 days of the year, so our work never ends. To meet the needs and to kind of piggyback off of what Steve was saying, one of the things we are trying really hard to do is to be as relevant an organization as possible. And what that requires is for us to reach out, find out what are the needs of our members, what are the needs of our key stakeholders, primarily those who are in the corporate sector for the employment purposes. Companies are changing. Our theme this year, Blink, the Speed of Change. And we're finding many companies, their business models have changed. The world and the environment in which they operate their business has changed. They are looking for different skills and different people with different competencies. And so we try to be innovative and cutting edge in terms of our approach to meeting their needs.
That's a great point, Bill. I want to pick up on that with both you and Steve. Again, you see the landscape. You see the overall patterns, the issues. You hear from the corporate sponsors. Again, this show is going to be broadcast to people who are looking at their own particular income bracket. They're looking at their neighborhoods. They're looking at their own job that may or may not be disappearing. They're looking at maybe a 401k or a pension plan that may be at risk because of the economy. What are you seeing both from a positive and maybe an area of concern as a result of your responsibilities with the National Black MBA Association, but most importantly as being corporate citizens? Bill Wells?
Okay. Carol, one of the things that I'm seeing, and I see it every day, particularly in the people that are in the career fair today, the profile of people entering the workforce today is much, much different than it was 10 years ago. Much different. We have far more minorities and far more women entering into the workforce, and companies are, like I said, companies are redefining themselves, reinventing. They're expanding their businesses. In some areas, they're contracting. But nothing is the same. And now we have the millennial set coming in, which is an age generational issue with much different skill sets, heavily focused on technology and the use of all of the technological skills. They don't network and communicate in the same ways. So companies are struggling with that sort of thing. All I'm saying is we are attempting to make sure we understand those trends and those changes. The work that I do in my business, as you've identified around strategy and helping with culture change, companies are really struggling on how to create an inclusive culture. And I don't mean just a diverse workforce, but an inclusive culture that manages to bring everyone in that really is a part of the total enterprise, able to utilize their full skills and their perspectives. And so it's a changing environment.
Before I talk to Steve about that, because I'm about to have him to answer, I just want to piggyback on what Bill has just said. I just came from the Leaders of Tomorrow breakfast, and Deborah Langford, who is the co-chair of this wonderful organization and the conference, she is a very, very big vice president of diversity and inclusion with NBC Universal. She made the point about how important it is, she told the young people, to personally reach out and follow up and touch people. She talked about the fact that she makes cards. So she'll take a picture of someone. She'll have that picture reproduced. She will create a card, will send off a handwritten note. And that is a lot more personal than sending a text message or doing an email. It erupted in applause when she actually said that. So it's just amazing in terms of how technology is really important, but that personal one-on-one touch really, I think, is going to be the key for a lot of people to break through. What about it, Steve?
Carol, you bring up an interesting point. You know, we not only have our career fair here, but we also have seminars. We have network functions. Last night during the welcome reception, it allowed people to actually reach out and touch people that they hadn't seen, reconnected, allowed them to interact, share data, and when you're getting a chance to share that data with somebody, there's something good that always comes out of it. If I want to touch on our Leadership Institute that we had yesterday, we're going to have our Entrepreneurial Institute. Those sessions are geared towards making sure people understand the latest landscape, understand the latest skills that are required, not just technological skills, but as Bill alluded to, the people skills. And we have several different tracks that affect that. Today we're going to have seminars for our general team that will focus from marketing to human resources to finance. Again, making sure people are understanding the skill base that they need, both intellectually and personally. And I think that that's the breadth of our conference. And, again, it doesn't just happen here. It continues with our 44 chapters, with the deployment of programs and actions that we're having month to month. So as we leave here, we actually renew and refresh our leaders and chapters. They go back and they execute similar programs in their region.
And I know that you gentlemen are very busy and have to take off in about a minute or so. I have two really important questions I want to ask you in closing. First of all, and I think this is important because people will see a Steve Lewis, they'll see a Bill Wells and say, I can't get to them. I mean, they're big guys. I mean, they've been a part of this organization for a long, long time, 12,000 attendees at this particular conference. Corporations from A to Z who are here. I mean, I don't understand how I can connect with individuals like that. My response would be the local level is king. And I say that because both of you first started out on the local level and doing work in this organization on the local level. Talk to us very quickly about your participation and how that obviously was a stepping stone or certainly was a connector to what you're doing here on the national level. Bill Wells first and then Steve.
Okay, thanks, Carol. I'm going to pick up where Steve mentioned. I'll tell you this. I didn't get here on my own. I've had a lot of help and a lot of support along the way. And as I think back, whether it's my work in the National Black MBA Association and my career, there have been people all along the way that have pulled me up, nudged me, pushed me, made me understand and believe that I could do more than what I was doing. And when I would get soft and start sagging, I had people, not only just my mother and my father, but other people who really believed in me. So I started at the local level, and opportunities oftentimes came to me not because I went after them, but they came to me, and I can remember the legions of people that were there to help make me know that I could get to where I ultimately am today as chair. I will say this also. My first conference experience was in St. Louis, and I think it was 92, and I came away from that conference, and I said, I want some of that. I want to be a part of that. And I was just there as a conference attendee. At this point now, many years later, I don't know how many people that have come to me that have said, do you remember who I am? And I remember I recognize the face. These are people that I've been in touch with by email, phone calls, and I've always believed, like Steve has said, once you're blessed, pass that blessing on. If you don't share your blessings, they'll disappear. So I guess my whole thing is, you know, you help me so I can help you, so you help me, and we can help others, and then pass it on.
And Steve Lewis?
Yes, I think growing up in the Metro Detroit area, spending time, as I tell people, in the basement, you know, starting off with team meetings, but having the privilege and opportunity to meet up-and-coming leaders when I first joined the association, such as Bill Brooks and Barbara Mahone, and they were I felt like I could never touch them. They worked at GM, I worked at Ford, but they were willing to share their practices. And I found out one important thing. They were everyday people. They were personable people. They really cared about the community. They gave me that pleasure and opportunity to continue their tradition. And to what Bill has just echoed, we are very big on reaching back and helping every day, each and every day. So, Carol, I want to thank you for having us, and we greatly appreciate it. And you've been a long friend for a long time. She doesn't want to say anything, but she grew up in this association as well. She learned a lot. She shared a lot of her skills on the communication front that we have emulated and utilized throughout the years. So thank you and allowing us to be with you today.
Thank you so much, Steve Lewis, the interim president and CEO of the National Black MBA Association, and just sort of looking at that, just in the spirit of H. Naylor Fitzhugh, who goes way back with our association, the very first African-American to receive an MBA degree from Harvard Business School back in the 30s and was a very active member of this association before he passed on, again, we're looking at the legacies that we want to share and we want to move on throughout the organization. 40 years in the making in terms of this association. Bill Wells, in closing, what are your thoughts about where you are, where Steve is, where I am, and where we need to go, and most importantly, how we need to bring people with us? Bill Wells?
Okay, Carol. Well, you know, clearly I think about several things, and I look at the founders that created this organization, what they went through, the sacrifices they made. I will just tell you this. We are where we are. We're doing pretty good, but I'm not satisfied. And we've got so much more to do, and it's kind of like that book that we've heard about, you know, what got you here won't get you there. We're spending a lot of time during this particular conference telling folks you need to revisit, rethink, reinvent yourself. We have more people in our career fair today that don't look like they're just starting out. They are like people who are mid-level executives, people changing their careers, transforming themselves. So I think the thing is when we look at what our founders started, and perhaps they didn't see it quite where we are today because that's 40 years ago. And I'm not sure if I can cast out 40 years to say, but I know tomorrow when Steve and I and the rest of the board members go in that room and start talking about our vision, I think we're going to have a different conversation than we've been having. We can't take it incrementally one step at a time. We're going to have to blink the speed of change. We need to catch up and move a lot faster. So I'm encouraged by, you know, the support and all the talent skill that we have, but we've got a lot of work to do. I would just echo kind of what Steve said. We need help. So for anyone that's listening to this program, you do not have to have an MBA to be a member of this association. If you're interested in a profession in business or a related field, you can join us. We have 44 chapters all across the United States. We have a chapter in Toronto. So there's a way for all of us to join this. It used to be called a struggle. I say we're at war. This is a fight. We need to, the very essence of us as citizens in this country, being able to chase the American dream, it's at stake. It's at stake. So I'll just end it with that. I want it to be upbeat. This is not rocket science. It's difficult, but we've got to come together. So I'm encouraged by the support that you give, helping us get the message out, because we've got work to do.
Well, you're my friends, you're my colleagues, you're my leader in terms of this organization, and you've heard it from the top. We wanted to start this program at the top with the vision, the perspectives, and where we're headed as leaders of the National Black MBA Association, the interim president and CEO. Steve Lewis, thank you so much for being a guest on my program, and the chair of the board, William Wells, thank you so much for being guests on Focus on Empowerment. Take care, and I know you're off to bigger and better things, luncheons and other engagements, and certainly more press coverage that's going to be given throughout the duration of the conference.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Take care now. Well, we have much more to talk about with this conference. We're going to give you some websites to go to. There is a free town meeting that we're going to talk to you about. So stay tuned because we have lots to talk about. And also, we want to share with you a pre-recorded interview that we did with one of our leaders of tomorrow. I'll share with you what that program is all about very shortly. And a young man who is really near and dear to my heart because he, too, has grown up in the National Black MBA Association and now is the Director of Operations for one of the chapters of the Leaders of Tomorrow program. So stay tuned. We'll put a little tribute music on and then come back to you with more information live from Los Angeles at the 32nd Annual National Conference and Exposition of the National Black MBA Association. our chair and of the board of the National Black MBA Association, William Wells, just said it. He said, you don't have to have an MBA degree to be a part of this organization. I have had friends and colleagues who have contributed greatly to this association, and they don't have an MBA degree. I'm actually working with a young woman now who has an MPA degree and does not have an MBA, but her valuable talents and skills are as important as someone who actually has the proper paperwork from a technical perspective. There's plenty good room to be a part of this association, and you don't have to be black. You don't have to be an African American. You can be anyone of any ethnic persuasion to be a part of this wonderful moving train that is moving forward at the speed, blinking at the speed of change by being a part of the National Black MBA Association. All you have to do is to go to the website. That's www.nbmbaa.org. I'll repeat that. It's nbmbaa.org. Find out about this conference. The conference activities will be listed at the website. And, again, there are tons of things going on here at the convention center and the respective hotels and surrounding areas as well. And then certainly well beyond this conference, you'll be able to find out a lot more about what's taking place within the space of the National Black MBA Association. It's really exciting what's taking place. Now, an exciting event that's taking place today, Thursday, September 23rd at 4 p.m. Pacific time, is a town meeting. And that town meeting is titled Secrets to Success, the Sequel, and it's sponsored by Nationwide. And that town meeting is going to be obviously today at 4 o'clock from 4 until 5:30. And with required registration, all you have to do is just go sign online and give the correct information. It does not cost any money, but you can actually attend. And the featured panelists are going to be Glenda Britforth, and she's a nationally renowned speaker, author, and consultant. You also have Gail King. She is the Executive Vice President and Chief Human Resource Officer of Nationwide, and the acclaimed stage, screen, and TV actor Idris Elba. And Janice Bryant Horroyd, who is an entrepreneur and founder and CEO of Act One Group, and Dr. Randall Pinkett, who is the co-founder and chair and CEO of BCT Partners, speaker and author. We all know we've seen him on The Apprentice. And this town meeting is going to discuss how they reinvented themselves, how these respective and respected guest presenters and panelists, how they reinvented themselves and evolved their careers to stay relevant in an ever-changing world economy. We just had Bill Wells and Steve Lewis talk about the economy and how we're trying to address it from the point of view of being black entrepreneurs and black MBA members. Then you'll have a chance to really see it live. And Roland Martin, who is on CNN, TV One, and has been a print editor for many years, well-respected in the National Association of Black Journalists as well, is going to be the moderator. And Deborah Lankford, who I just heard this morning, fabulous, fabulous woman. She is with NBC Universal. She is the director of diversity and inclusion at NBC Universal, has had a stellar career in broadcasting and bringing people of color to the table in the world of media and entertainers. They are the co-moderators of this town meeting. I'm going to be there, and I hope you will be there as well. And I'm sure that you'll be able to check in with me. You can always email me at tellcarol@mac.com. That's TELLCAROLE at mac.com. And I will be happy to give you more information based on the perspective that I have and all of the activities that are taking place, not just today, but beyond today as well. There are going to be hospitality events taking place later on this evening. The career fair kicks off today. There's just an awful lot going on with 300-plus corporations who are here sponsoring this event. So you can find out about it live if you're actually here in the Los Angeles area, or you can go to the website again at www.nbmbaa.org. You can certainly give me a call at 508-947-5755 or learn more about it with your own Google research or your own kind of research and relevancy to what does it really mean to have an MBA degree? What does it mean to have an advanced degree that will somehow connect you and put you in touch with those who are either in the world of business or who are dealing with business matters if they're working with nonprofit organizations or educational institutions or faith-based organizations? It doesn't really matter because business is really the thread that connects us all together. We're going to switch gears and play, I think, a delightful interview with a young man who I've known for quite some time. You'll hear more about it during the interview, Gary Morton, who is now the Director of Operations for the Boston Chapter Leaders of Tomorrow program, and Treasure Dyer, who is a young student in high school in Rhode Island, and she's part of the Boston Chapter. And they're going to talk to you about what the Leaders of Tomorrow program means and how young people have benefited and how perhaps you have a young high school student who is interested in being a part of the Leaders program in their respective chapter somewhere in the United States. Big shout out to Lori Jenkins, who is the program director on the national level with the Leaders of Tomorrow program. I have been delighted to work with her since Monday as her assistant. I'm on the national ops team here in Los Angeles, and she's done a great job. And right now the young people are somewhere headed to Disney World, I think, or Disneyland. They're going to find out a lot about the behind-the-scenes activities and what takes place when you work for the Disney organization. They are going to go on a tour of Los Angeles today, so they're out and about. But we caught up with a couple of them before they left for their excursion to learn more about the Leaders of Tomorrow program. So stay tuned. We're going to play that right now.
Well, these young people are just having a wonderful time out here in Los Angeles at the National Black MBA Association National Conference. This is the 19th Leaders of Tomorrow program, and I was there at the very beginning, and I'm really excited because on the line we have, we're pre-recording this particular segment because the leaders are just all over the place. They have field trips today and other activities, and we wanted to make sure that we got them on to hear their story. And what better way to do it than to interview someone who was a leader of Tomorrow back in 1992 when the program was really in its infancy and now a current leader. So I have on the line the Director of Operations, former Leader of Tomorrow from 1992 days, Gary Morton, and also a current leader, Treasure Dyer, who is spending her first time out here with the Leaders Program. Welcome to Gary and Treasure. Glad to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having us on the show.
Great. Gary, what's it like for you? I mean, you've been through this program as a high school student and now not only a high school graduate but a college graduate, married with a family, and now in graduate school yourself working on your MBA degree. What is all that about for you in terms of almost 20 years being with this program?
Yes, I mean, LSE has been instrumental. It still continues to be instrumental in my life. You know, I ended up going to Bentley College from Hyde Park High School, you know, back in 1993. With your help, Carol, actually, you know, you were one of those key mentors to me that helped me to transition to the university. And you've always been there, and you're still there. You know, LOT means a lot in terms of the connections and network that I've been able to form that have supported me throughout the years and continue to support me. And you are certainly one of those mentors and network, you know, that were instrumental, and that came about through being a part of Leaders of Tomorrow.
Well, I thank you so much for your very kind words, but, I mean, you are just a talent beyond belief in terms of not only learning and using the resources with the Leaders of Tomorrow program, but now in the position, I'm just so proud to tell people that you were a leader and now you're giving back to the program. Treasurer, what's the experience like for you? You've been a part of the program with the Boston chapter for about a year. As we're recording this, you are anticipating a trip out to California. Tell me your thoughts about the Leaders program.
I enjoy the leadership program so much. They taught me so much, and I just appreciate everything that's been done for me. I appreciate all the help I have around me, and I feel like I'm at a place where I can reach out for help without feeling afraid. I can get out of my comfort zone and feel comfortable in the environment I am, and I'm really grateful for that because I never thought I would find a program like this. And it's not just about the money or the scholarship. It's more than that. It's putting your life on the right track no matter what circumstance you're in, what color you are, what race you are, whatever the situation might be. You can always be successful, and leadership showed me that.
You know, I have a lot of respect for you because those of us who are listening, we have people listening literally from all over the world, but our program in the Boston area is based in Boston. So typically we identify young adults, teenagers, students as well in the Boston area. You come well beyond that because you live in Rhode Island. How did you hear about the Leaders Program?
Actually, I heard about the Leadership Program through my Uncle Gary, and he told me that it would be a good opportunity for me because he knows how much I am serious about school, how much my mom is serious about me in school, and my sister. Like, we just always had that teaching that school was so important, and I always knew I wanted to do something big with my life, and knew school was the main priority.
That's great. You know, here I'm thinking about networking and how important it is, but literally how applicable it is in the case that, Gary, you were a student, now you're in a leadership role, but you're reaching back not just to other kids outside of your family, you're reaching to kids in your family, too. That's outstanding. What are some of the challenges, very quickly, Treasurer, that you face as a student today, trying to achieve, trying to be a young woman in your own right? What are some of the difficulties or the challenges that you are experiencing in school or certainly in the community?
I experience a lot of troubles at school between following the crowd and standing out and being my own person, especially in Rhode Island and Providence, that most kids aren't that focused into school more than doing outside of school, chilling outside of school. And when you try to be the one who stays on task and doing the right thing, they try to bring you down for it because, you know, it's not necessarily cool. But the choice is up to me what I think is cool. If I think it's cool to drop out or skip school all the time or to stay on track because those same people that I'm following aren't going to be there for me later in the future when I'm all alone and I have nothing to do. I see so many troubles with that because people tell me all the time, oh, you're goody-goody, all the stuff. Like, that doesn't matter to me. I know what I want to do with my life, and what you want to do with your life may be a totally different situation. If you think that being a rapper is going to get you where you're going to go, then that's your choice. I know that academics is my best feature, so that's what I choose to go with.
Well, I mean, you certainly are validating why this program, the Leaders Program, is so important, just because of the exposure that you're getting when you're actually going to be in California, seeing thousands of African-American professionals, black professionals, hundreds of corporations, and the resources and the opportunities that are out there for you. Dial back, Gary, go back to 1992. What was that experience for you in let's say, 30 words or less when you were still in high school?
Yes. I had a great experience. One particularly that always sticks out of my mind is being able to take the trip to the St. Louis conference.
Right.
The Townsend. That was an incredible experience. I mean, first of all, I hadn't even flown on an airplane in God knows how long at the point. And it was a wonderful opportunity just to get that experience and then get to a conference where there were so many minority professionals that were all so successful. I mean, that was just inspiring to me. I was able to make so many different connections and network that it, you know, that all that experience alone, just stands out in my mind.
Sounds like it was pretty overwhelming and also probably reaffirming because of the connection that you clearly had with the other minorities who were there, and you could see the possibilities. So as we look at this conference and we look at what's going on with the Boston chapter, Gary, tell us where you see the Leaders Program going first on the Boston level and certainly on the national level. Gary Morton.
I mean, in terms of the Leaders of Tomorrow, we want the Leaders of Tomorrow to be the lead youth mentoring program responsible for increasing the number of minority high school students who pursue higher education, professional, and entrepreneurship careers, and you know, seek a future in business, and also being community leaders. That's where my vision is for Leaders of Tomorrow.
That's great. And Treasure, what about you? Where do you see yourself after graduating from high school? What are your future plans?
My future plans are actually one of the reasons why I'm so excited to go to California is because one of my future plans is to attend UCLA because I just admire that school, what they're about, and their classes. I would love to go to that school. And I see myself as a neonatal pediatrician because I love to work with young babies. I also was going to start an internship at Women and Infants Hospital during high school right now.
Well, you're going to be in for a real treat because on Saturday during this conference there's going to be a career fair, and I bet you're going to meet some people from UCLA who are going to be there and will want to talk to you and hear about your dreams and your goals and aspirations. I want to thank you, Gary Morton, for the work that you've done, the leadership role that you have played, and also you, Treasure, for the outstanding vision that you have not only for yourself but where you're going to see yourself in the future. Thank you so much, Gary Morton and Treasure Dyer, our leader of the Leaders Program and one of the student participants. I thank you so much for being a guest on my program.
Thank you again for having us, Cal. You are always an expert to me, definitely, more than anything.
And I thank
you
all
so much.
Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
Well, I tell you, I'm just so proud of Gary Morton and certainly Treasure Dyer and the job that they're continuing to do. I was sitting up here listening to the interview again and saying, you know, this world, the older I grow, just how connected the world happens to be. Earlier with this program, we heard our chair of the National Black MBA Association, William Wells, or Bill Wells, talk about his very first conference more than 15 years ago, about 18 years ago now at this point, being in St. Louis. And then the very first conference for Gary Morton and Rabbi Bristol, who is also now working with the Leaders of Tomorrow program in Boston, it was that very same conference in St. Louis. So here we had high school students and then a business professional who are still intricately involved in this organization. That's what this organization is all about. It's like family to me. I felt so badly last year when I was not in New Orleans for the conference because I had not missed a conference since 1986 when I received my MBA degree. It was something about this organization and one other that I belong to. I felt like that I was a part of them, that I was home, that these were my people, and that in some way I would always be connected to them for the rest of my life. And there are only about two other organizations where I have feel the same way. The other, obviously, is my church affiliation, which I'll always be a part of. But this organization is like that. It's like family. I see some people once a year. We hug each other. Sometimes I see them other times of the year. But you come here, and it's like you come home, and it doesn't make any difference where you've come from. It's just that important. And, again, just to see the connection between Rabbi Bristol, Bill Wells, and Gary Morton, going back to 1992 and looking at where they are now, it's just amazing. Rabbi Bristol, who was not on the interview but also was a high school student and still a very good friend of Gary Morton, married just like Gary married. They're both married now. They have degrees. They are working on advanced degrees. They have children, and in Rabbi's case, Rabbi's wife became seriously ill about maybe 2 years ago, And Rabbi made the decision in love and certainly in devotion to his wife to give his kidney to his wife. And she's now living today and doing well because he made that sacrifice to her. So we have people who really have heart and soul, who obviously have come from just wonderful backgrounds but have convened together within this respective organization. The other thing that's really exciting about this are the people that we're meeting across the globe. It's not just for African Americans in the United States. This organization also is connecting and being a valuable asset to those who are in other parts of the world as well. We have had a relationship with Canadians. We now have a Toronto chapter, as Bill Wells has said. We have had a relationship with the United Kingdom that goes back almost 20 years. And during that time, either professionals who are connected with some aspect of African business activities in the United Kingdom, and now certainly with young people, have been a part of the National Black MBA Association National Conference. They've come to this conference, and I've had the privilege now of meeting about 10 young people and chaperones who are here at the conference working with the Leaders of Tomorrow program. And one of them said to me yesterday, he said, you know, you don't realize how important this is for us, how important it is for our young people to come from their respective neighborhoods in the UK, in London, in England, and to come here and see so many black professionals in one place. It is mind-blowing. And he said, you know, there are many struggles that we have in the United Kingdom. We certainly have advances and opportunities that we want to take advantage of. But, again, to bring these young people to the conference where they're taking advantage of sightseeing activities, they'll be actually in the evening, they have homework assignments, they have a homework time where they do their homework, and then they have a networking session as well. So it's a very structured program for them. They have a chance to have fun, but we want to make sure that they keep up with their schoolwork. There's one young man who goes to school, I believe, at Rhode Island. He's here with us on the trip, and he has to log on every so often and stay in touch with his teacher. That's really taking advantage of technology to the next level. So we have to make sure that he has an internet connection so that he can then go and do his homework or turn his homework in and obviously check in and let the teacher and let the faculty member know what he's been doing in the course of working and being a part of this conference. So it's just amazing what's taking place and the young people who are here and the responsibilities that they have as well. Now, there's also an entrepreneurial institute that took place yesterday, and I believe it spills over into today as well. And I want to do a shout-out because I just met here in the press room Dion Reed, who is with Assist Design. And yesterday he was quickly telling me that he had a chance to pitch his business to almost like an apprentice-like committee. They have sort of replicated that show here. And he had a chance to pitch his business and talk about his business, and they're going for a top prize along with other people who are competing with him. So we have taken the Hollywood ideas and the Los Angeles ideas and packaged them together in this conference. So I wish Dion Reed the very best as he did his pitch yesterday and as he competes with others who are looking for the top prize within the association. Also, thank you so much to Rochelle Hill. I'm in the space because she was very gracious in allowing me to be here. She's with Owens Morris Communications, so I want to thank her and her team. They are working busy working with those who are being interviewed by various media outlets around the world. There are about 80 media outlets here who are in some way broadcasting or being a part of this particular activity. I think we're the only internet-based radio program broadcasting live at the National Black MBA Association, so I'm really glad about that. Also, thank you to Gail Blanchett and Vera Lewis, who are part of the National Black MBA Association staff, who worked with me and collaborated with me to put this show on, along with Kim Wilson, Vice President of the National Black MBA Association, Lori Jenkins and Steffi Young, and everybody else who had a hand in this show today. It's just really exciting. I look back at the 24 conferences that I've attended. I was much younger 24 years ago. My kids were a lot younger, and an awful lot has happened during that time. But I get energized, and I get fuel, and I get sort of reconfirmed by coming here, just being with my friends and being with people that I haven't seen in a good year, understanding that times are tough. We're not saying that times are easy. Times are really tough. But you come to a conference like this, you come to these meetings and these sessions, town hall meetings, the career fair that opened up very recently to this morning. You come to the meal events, to the banquets, to the luncheons that take place, and you sort of get grounded again. I remember 24 years ago when I had just graduated from business school and I was working in corporate America, and it was not easy. And I came to my very first Black MBA experience, having been a part of a very young chapter. The Boston chapter at that time was very young. And just like I had heard earlier from some other members of the association, just as I had heard from those who came from the UK, as I heard from Bill Wells in terms of his first experience in 1992, I came to my conference in Detroit, my hometown, in 1986. And all I could say was, wow, to see the number of Black people who looked just like I looked, who dressed in suits, who walked around, who were in positions of authority, who networked, but most importantly, had experiences like my experiences. I can't tell you, because words can't describe how valuable and how meaningful that was for me 24 years ago. You sort of speed it up, and I don't care if you're talking about 1992, if you're talking about 2005, if you're talking about 1995 when the conference came to Boston and I was the local chair host, the local host of the conference during that year, or here in Los Angeles 2010, it's that connection, it's that gathering. Yes, it is dealing with technology. This radio show is on the Internet, so I can't tell you how important technology is from that perspective. But also being able to come together face-to-face, have small conversations, to learn different techniques and tips, to say, how are the kids? How are the grandkids? How's your family? Have you moved? How are your parents? Whatever the conversation happens to be around the water cooler out in the convention center or at the luncheon that's taking place a little later on today or the 40th annual luncheon that will take place tomorrow, and I believe I'm going to co-host that, or I'm going to be the MC for that particular event. Whatever it happens to be, just coming together on a face-to-face basis and just meeting up with like minds it's medicine. It really is medicine. We have our friends in our respective communities. We have our friends elsewhere. But when you belong to an association like this, a trade association, a professional association, and you have a chance to talk to people in a way that they understand your perspective, it just means an awful lot. And with that, I just sort of celebrate the National Black MBA Association, because I have had the opportunity to be a part of this arena of change and progress and the dynamics that take place for over 24 years in this case. I look at the CASE competition, where they bring together young graduate students from across the United States, and there are also variations of the CASE competition that will take place starting today through Friday, and they'll award $15,000 scholarships to young people. It's sponsored by Chrysler. It's been put on by Chrysler since the beginning. I look at the Entrepreneurial Institute, of which Dion Reed participated yesterday in becoming the next game changer, where he had a chance to pitch his business. I look at just in the Entrepreneurial Excellence Award that's going to take place. They're going to give away a $5,000 grant. I hope Dion wins that grant, and that's put on by State Farm and Wells Fargo. I just look at just all of the activities that are going on in the space of these square acreage that's just beyond belief, the 12,000 people who will come. And I say, this is my space, this is my arena. And my challenge to you, no matter what walk of life you come from, no matter who you are, is just the importance of these kind of face-to-face interactions within a gathering of an association of which you belong. You don't have to have 10 or 15 or 20,000 members to be a part of an association. You can have 100 members. You can have 50 members. But just the gathering and coming together year after year after year will help you to grow. It'll also help you to stay on top of the trends that are taking place. I am a true believer that if you're in business today, if you are a business professional, if you are a nonprofit leader, if you are working in an industry that has technical expertise that is extremely important, you have got to stay ahead of the curve. You've got to place yourself in the midst of other professionals who can guide and coach and give you direction. I've actually gone to a website, and I was so impressed with this website because it was for an association of people who are in housekeeping who work in various hotels around the globe. And they have a convention, and they meet every year so that they can learn the importance of customer service skills or whatever the cleaning technologies are in a respective industry, in their respective industry. But it's that gathering and that coming together that really makes the difference, and certainly we have it here with the National Black MBA Association. So again, if you're interested in this association, you don't have to have an MBA degree. You can have a bachelor's degree. We certainly have hundreds of volunteer opportunities for you on the local level with our leaders programs across the country, or certainly on the level of the chapter involvement. We are always looking for sponsors to sponsor the various programs that take place on the local and the national level with the National Black MBA Association, and certainly international connections and affiliates that are very meaningful, very relevant, and very important. So you can go to www.nbmbaa.org and find out how you can become involved in this very exciting organization. It's been a lot of fun. Let me just give you the rest of the lineup, what's taking place here within this conference. We have a luncheon that will take place today around 12 o'clock or so. There will be various workshops going on throughout the day, and then there will be the town meeting that will take place at 4 o'clock. And then there are going to be just a lot of hospitality activities. Various organizations and companies will have their rooms set up within the respective hotels where you can go to a nationwide. You can certainly go to a big tent with a Target event. There's going to be food, a lot of beverages, and a whole lot of networking. So if you're headed this way, and if you're going to the hospitality events that are taking place tonight or certainly tomorrow night, bring lots of business cards. You need to have a whole lot of business cards because that's how you stay in touch with people, and that's how you can connect and expand your horizons and certainly expand your relationships going forward. Today when I was at the Leaders of Tomorrow breakfast, Deborah Norport Langford was the opening speaker, as I had mentioned earlier, and she gave the young people tips and suggestions about networking and how to network. I actually put together a 30-minute networking CD, and if you're interested, you can email me at tellcarol@mac.com to find out how you can get a copy of that. But she talked about the importance of networking and how to do it on a face-to-face basis, how to do it with business cards, and trust me, you have young people here at this conference who have business cards. I'm just so impressed with how they're dressed and how they have their Leaders of Tomorrow blazers on and how they are representing their respective chapters. But she talked to us about how important it is to network and the strategies of networking. We had a speaker last evening who talked about learning agility and how in these days of uncertainty, you have to be able to do workarounds. You have to be able to go with the flow. You have to have a level of flexibility. So the lessons, the opportunities, the teachable moments come through in just about every way of looking at this kind of conference. It is massive, but it is also of value to lots of people. And as Bill Wells has said earlier, we have Asians here, we have Hispanics here, we have whites here. Obviously, we have African, we have blacks here that represent the African-American diaspora. It represents the Caribbean diaspora, the African diaspora as well. We are all one big, happy family, and that's the important thing. We are one. So I've enjoyed this, and I want to do this more and more. I want to go to other conferences and broadcast live to give you a sense of what's taking place, all the buzz that's going on within this respective space. I want to thank my guests who have given us lots of food for thought and words of wisdom today, Bill Wells, who is the chair of the National Black MBA Association, also Steve Lewis, who is the interim president and CEO, Gary Morton, the director of operations for the Boston chapter of the Leaders of Tomorrow program, and Treasure Dyer, who is a young leader in that Boston chapter. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm going to have more fun today and tomorrow. And our programs with the Leaders Group, they don't end until Saturday about 4:30. They have a career fair coming up. They are going to visit the various campuses, so Treasure Dyer is going to get her request. She will have a chance to talk and connect with some of the representatives at the California schools. It's just the opportunities are endless, and the glass is half full. It's not half empty. I hope that you've enjoyed this show. I hope it's encouraged you, and I hope that empowerment will begin when you believe in yourself, will certainly trust your higher power, and take your life to the next level. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week with an exciting show. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas. Bye-bye. See you later.